Hey, welcome to Exit 15. Glad you guys are here. Are you excited to be here? Yes. That's the spot where you put amen in there, right? Are you excited to be here? Amen. All right. You're a good Southern Baptist now. Hey, if this is your first time to Exit 15, welcome. Glad you're here. If a friend brought you or you just kind of wandered in the room, we're excited you're here. And those that are watching us online, thank you for being with us. We are continuing our series, Devoted. We kicked it off last week. We didn't quite make it all the way through the talk. So if you have your talk sheet there and a pencil, there's one there. If you want to use your own creative pen, you can have that. But that little talk sheet there, I kind of gave you the notes from last week, how far we got in dealing with the fear of God. We are in this two-part series, and man, God, what God did last week and that truth of how we all need to be devoted to Christ, and it starts with a healthy fear of God. Man, the Spirit was so thick in the room when we ended. And I want to continue that. My prayer all week long is, God, would you take this truth about the love of God? Would you pour it into our hearts and our lives tonight? And would you do something in us that only you can do as it stirs up a desire for God? So that little triangle there that's on your talk sheet, it has three sides to it. We talked about the fear of God. That's on the left side. And on the right side, we have the love of God. And then how those two truths, the fear of God and love of God, help us to have a desire for God. So the desire for God is at the top of the triangle. It's like that putting those two things, those two truths together, create in us a desire for God. So as we dive into this, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's kind of our theme passage here. But 1 Timothy chapter 4 starts like this, verses 7 through 10. It says, "But have nothing to do with old worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand," this is the good part, "discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only for a little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance, for it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers." It is this practice of godliness. I told you about a book that we came across, and a group of guys we're kind of getting at my house every once a week, and we're kind of little by little kind of getting through this book, A Practice of Godliness by Jerry Bridges. And in the very first chapter, the first two chapters, he talks about the fear of God, the love of God, and a desire for God. And as I started studying this book by Jerry Bridges, and we dive into God's Word, we see how these two very important qualities and characteristics are so important for each one of us in the middle of a quarantine. When you're finding yourself alone and isolated, how do you continue that relationship with the Lord? How do you keep moving forward when church attendance is kind of taken away from you and everything is on a screen and I'm not in community with those around me? I think a lot of it was a wake-up call for us. And so as we started into the quarantine, as we started into the Lord started pounding on my heart. And I had a lot of empathy and a lot of compassion for the students in our ministry. Because I knew, and some of you, and Emily kind of, you know, highlighted this, a lot of us were feeling alone. And a lot of us were feeling disconnected with each other and with God. And as I begin to process this and even grieve with you, this reality right here came screaming to my mind. That if I'm going to be a devoted follower of Christ, it starts with a fear and a love for God. Even when everything is stripped away. Man, I'm mindful of those people that are in foreign lands and foreign countries where they're isolated all the time and they are faithful, devoted followers of Christ. Man, there are people all across this city who are faithful followers of Christ and they're feeling disconnected just like you. And I'm praying that tonight, as we dive into what does the love of God look like for a devoted follower of Christ, I'm praying tonight that His love would pour out over us. as we dive into this passage. So if you have your talk sheet, let's go. You ready? You ready for this? We're going to study God's word together, and we're going to allow the Lord to do some talking tonight, not necessarily Steve. All right, you ready? Here we go. Love of God. Here's the very first thing we need to understand, that God loves you. When you are a devoted follower of Christ, that reality is all over you. I know, I trust, I believe he loves me. You can almost put your name in that blank. God loves Steve. Yes, God loves all the world. And many times that we get that idea in our head, in our heart, and it's that God loves the world. And that is so true. He loves the world, but guess what? He loves you too. He loves you. He loves you so much that he wants to be in a right relationship with you. And he wants to come alongside you in the midst of your loneliness, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your pain and your suffering. He wants to come alongside you because he loves you. He's not putting his thumb on you. We talked about that last week. He loves you desperately. And he loves you so much, get this, he made the first move. Right? He made the first move. Like, he loved first. Before you even thought of love, before you even knew that love existed, he loved first. And that simple truth about the God of the universe and how much he stepped first in love toward us reveals a lot about his character and a lot about his nature. One, that he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He is always going to be there. Why? Because he loves you. Because he cares about you. He desires to be in relationship with you. He loves you. I can't say it enough. He is the epitome of love. 1 John 4:9-10 say this. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we may live through him. Get this, here it is. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Ladies and gentlemen, oh gosh, please never forget that he loved first. Before you even knew him as Savior, before you even recognized him, he loved you. And he chose you. He wants to be in relationship with you. If I could say everybody's name at the same time, like, I would say it just to make it as personal as possible, that he loves you. Number two is that God's love for us is not conditional. It's not conditional. Nothing you did, said, moved, whatever you actually, nothing that you did is going to determine or deter his love for you. He is going to love you regardless of where you are. He's going to love you no matter where you are, no matter what state of life you are, no matter what pain or suffering you go through, he loves you. No matter how far you run away from him, he loves you. He desires you. He's not running away from you. He's running toward you. And if anything, he's being ever present in the middle of our isolation. He's not absent. Why? Because he loves you. And there's nothing that you can do that will deter him from loving you even more. That's big. Because I think so many of us get that mixed up. I think some of us equate earthly love with God's love. Well, if so-and-so doesn't like me, that means they don't love me. And many times we see that in our earthly relationships, right? They walk away from you. And we take that earthly perspective and we put it on an eternal God. And that is not fair. And that is unhealthy. That is not how God views you. God loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally, no matter what you have done or where you've gone. Even in the sin that you find yourself in right now, he loves you. He's not running away. He desires that. He wants you to engage with him. And if you believe for some reason that he's running away from you because of the things that you've done, I will hope that you would hear this truth tonight, that he's not running. He's not. He hasn't moved. Oh, you may have turned your heart. You may have turned your head, but he hasn't moved. And there's nothing that you can do that would deter his love for you, because he loves unconditionally. You know what? Romans 5:8 says this, that yet while we were still sinners, what? Christ died for us. Did you hear that? That yet while you and I were still sinners, Christ died for you. In other words, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You are a sinner, I am a sinner. And yet while we were still sin, full of sin and in our hearts, Christ died for us. In other words, his love moved first toward you. He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. Number three, nothing you can do can separate us from his love. Nothing. Nothing you can do can separate you from his love. Romans 8:38 and 39 say this, is for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or things present, or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any created thing. That pretty much sums up the whole list of everything, right? Is able to separate us from what? Love. And love of God, which is in who? Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing you can do, and your sin, you may think you're running from, God must not love me anymore. How many times have we all used that excuse? I think all of us. God must not love me anymore. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You know what? When we realize that he loves us, and it's an unconditional love, and it's a love that he's not going to run away from, once we see the love of Christ fully and completely, what's my response? What am I to do with that? What am I to do with this overwhelming love? The response is simple. You want me to educate? You want me to help you out with this? You ready for this? I'm going to help you out. This is going to be so great, right? You love him back. What do you do with the love that he has given you? You love him back. And when you realize what Christ has done for you on the cross in salvation, you will realize the love that he has for you. And the many times that we run away from him in sin, you will come screaming back to him because you know and you experience the love of Christ in salvation. Some of us need to return to the joy of our salvation. Many of us need to come back to the realization that he loved you first and sent his one and only son so that you and I could have eternal life. And what motivated all of that was love. He loves you. A fully devoted follower of Christ is going to realize the love of God and have a healthy fear of God, and that is going to converge and merge into an overwhelming desire for God. That regardless of any circumstance, no, regardless of any pandemic, regardless of any struggle you may be having, maybe your parents are going through divorce, your family's getting broke up, it doesn't matter. Because you have a healthy fear of God and you understand the love of God, that regardless of my circumstances, regardless of what's going on in life, I can count on these two things and I can be a devoted follower of Christ. That's what it means to be devoted. Point number two, we need to have a desire for God. A desire for God. A couple of passages of scripture will jump in here, but here's the reality that many of us don't have a desire for God because it's not instant gratification. Having a desire for God takes time, because for these two things, fear and love of God, to come together, to create in us a desire, there's a lot of processing and there's a lot of different things that need to happen in our hearts and our lives, but our culture says it's got to be instant. Our culture says instant gratification. I got to get the like, right? And we pursue those things. We pursue acceptance. We pursue authentic relationships. We pursue all of these different things because we're hoping that those things will satisfy us. And we see here that that's not a life that's pleasing to the Lord. When you choose to put all of your hope in what satisfies you, that, my friend, is sin. That, my friend, is pride. Because you're trying to make yourself feel better. But what God's word teaches us and what this simple truth of godliness means is that I'm not pursuing the like. I could care less about the like. What I care about, when I have a healthy fear of God, I love God and I'm all in for desiring Him. That's point number one. A person who desires God craves to be in His presence. You crave to be in His presence. I want to read a couple passages of Scripture, and some of these are very familiar for you. Psalm 42, it says this, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Do you have a desire in your heart to be in the presence of God? Now, Steve, I'm at school. It's really hard to be in the presence of God at school. Yeah, I mean, you got a good point there. But what about your heart? Oh, your feet may be at school, but what about your heart? Does your heart desire God to be in that place with you? I think that's a good place to start. God, Steve, you don't understand my family situation. You're right, I probably don't. But He does. And He loves you still. And in your heart, do you desire God to make a difference in your family? Do you crave for Him, His presence, to be in the middle of your circumstance? Is that what you crave? Is that what you want? Because a person who desires God is going to want that a lot. Psalm 27:4 says this, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only I seek, that I dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." You know, when we get together for Exit 15 or even worship on the weekends, is that a moment that you get to enjoy the presence of God? Or are you coming just to check the box? Gut check, Jesus juke, just happened. Why do you come? Why are you here? Why do you get up every morning to read your word? Why? What's the point? Struggle. Now, Steve, you're meddling. Like, Steve, you're stepping all over my toes. I ain't doing it. The Lord is. I'm just saying that a person who is fully devoted to Christ has a desire for God, that regardless of the circumstances where they are, they enjoy the presence of God and they look for the presence of God. They enjoy that. They crave that. They desire that. And that is what David is talking about here in Psalm. Oh, how I long to be in the presence of you, God. How I long to be in your temple. How I long to be with you. Is that you? Is that the desire of your heart? Number two, I got to keep going. Number two is that a person who desires God is never satisfied with their present spiritual condition. This is going to speak all over the apathetic Christian that's in the room right now. I'm just warning you. If you're finding yourself stale and stagnant in your relationship with the Lord, this truth right here is going to step all over your toes. Because a person who has a genuine desire for God, a person who is truly devoted for the Lord, is never satisfied with their present spiritual condition. In other words, I've already read the Bible from cover to cover. I'm good, right? I've already been baptized. I'm good, right? I got perfect attendance at church. I'm good, right? And you think by the age of 18 that you've got it all licked. You got the church thing. You got the Christian thing. You've got it all down. And when you find yourself in that place, when you find yourself thinking you've checked all the boxes and I've got everything good, that's a struggle. And if anything, my heart hurts for you Because we serve a God who wants to do a lot more than what you think. There's a God in heaven who loves you, cares for you. And we talked about this last week. The wrath of God, the discipline of God may be coming upon you. Because you have allowed your pride to determine your steps. And you've allowed your pride to determine your spiritual condition. And that's a hard place to be. In the book, Practice of Godliness, that we're kind of pulling a lot of these truths from, Jerry Bridges says this in his book. He says, this is the heartbeat of a godly person. As he contemplates God in the awesomeness of his infinite majesty, power, and holiness, and then as he dwells upon the riches of his mercy and grace poured out at Calvary, his heart is captivated by this one who could love him so. He is satisfied with God alone, but he is never satisfied with his present experience of God. He always yearns for more. Always. This is what a devoted follower of Christ longs for. Have we gotten there yet? And I'm including myself, this 46-year-old youth pastor who has, quote unquote, read the Bible more times than he could count, who has preached so many sermons and seen so many students come to faith in Christ. Am I content with my present spiritual condition? And that's the same question that we can all ask ourselves. Are we, those even watching online, are you content? Have you become so apathetic and jaded by the gospel? Oh, may in this moment you be so encouraged to take the next step in your relationship with the Lord, to take the next step of faith, and to trust him, what he wants to do the rest of your days, what he wants to do with your life, what he wants to do with your ministry, what he wants to do with your profession. All of those things are ahead of you. If you are content with your present spiritual condition, then what happens out there in the future will be a struggle. Because you've, quote unquote, got it all together. And I want to challenge all of us. You're like, Steve, I've already studied the Bible. Do it again. Trust me. I got more Bibles in my office than I can count of the notes that I have made on the same passage of Scripture over and over and over again. And every single time that I study it, something new comes. It's amazing how God works. I've sat under teaching under pastor after pastor after pastor, and some of them have taught on the exact same passage of Scripture. And it's a miracle how I get something different every single time. It's because a godly person, someone who is devoted, is never satisfied with their present condition, but if anything, they are pursuing Christ with every single step. Number four, I got to move on. I got to be done. A godly person, a person who desires God, has a desire to glorify and to please him. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, number three. Looks different from the world. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. A person who desires God looks different from the world. You know what? A person who desires God, there's a warmth and an awe about them. When you come in contact with someone who is a devoted follower of Christ, there's something different about them, isn't it? Like they smile differently, like when they shake your hand. Oh, we can't do that. When they fist bump you, it's a little bit different. You know, when you're in their presence and they're talking, you're like, man, I really like what this guy's got to say. I like what this lady has to say. There's just something warmth about them. There's something you just go like, oh, this is so good. I want you to think in your heart, in your life right now. I want you to write down the name of someone that you think is a devoted follower of Christ. Someone that really demonstrates this principle. They look different. Is there someone in your heart, in your life? Maybe it's a grandparent. Maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's a, I don't know, maybe it's your life group leader. Somebody in your life that has that kind of awe about them. Write their name down on your talk sheet right there. Write their name down. Who is it? Who is that one? Who's that one you're like, ah, oh, yeah, they're walking with the Lord. I really see that. You know, in the Bible, Paul talks about how, hey, as I pursue Christ, follow my example. Paul teaches that about him. As he walked with the Lord and as he did his missionary journeys, he would call these people to say, hey, follow my example. I'm trying to pursue Christ. I'm going to give my all for Christ, and I want you to try to emulate me. Follow my example. I want to challenge you. Those people, the people that you wrote down, the names that you wrote down, maybe schedule a moment where you can spend some time with them and ask the simple question, hey, what's God teaching you? And just see what happens. And just allow what they're teaching, what they're learning to come out on you. Because these are the people that we really want to connect ourselves with. And we follow after them. Okay, principle number four. A person who desires God has a desire to glorify and to please him. Several years ago, I came across this passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 26 that really sums up this point of how we are to glorify and to live a life pleasing to him. And it says this, Isaiah 26:8 says this, yes, Lord, we can just stop right there. That's incredible. Is that your desire to simply say, well, that says indeed, but yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the desires of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people will learn of your righteousness. A person who desires the Lord wants to live a life that is pleasing to him, a life that glorifies him. Okay, Steve, that's such a general statement. What does that mean? How do you treat your friends? That ultimately reflects Christ. Can I look at your social media account and see your devoted follower of Christ? Or have you made it all about yourself? Now, I'm not saying you need to put scripture on every single, like every single post you put out there, you know, maybe pictures of Jesus, you know, things like that. I think you should do that every now and then just to remind every one of your friends that you just love Jesus a lot. But are you making your social media about you? That tells a lot. What about how you love the Word? Are you digging into the Word? Are you studying God's Word the way that you need to? Do you have a plan? Or are you just thumbing through the pages? What pleases the Lord is that you desire to be in relationship with Him and that you flee sin. We could talk about that all day long. That could be a whole nother talk. How do you reject sin in your life? I'm curious because I really want to know. Because the struggles that you guys face are a lot more than what I struggled when I was in high school. My struggles are a lot different than your struggles. Oh, I had my own struggles of acceptance and being in a right. I wanted the best friend ever. I always looked out for the authentic friendships. That's what I wanted. Y'all had the same struggles. But man, how do you reject sin when it's so prevalent right there in the palm of your hand? How do you deal with that? How do you look at this device and reject sin? Because the things that I've stumbled across make me want to blush. How do you reject sin that way? How do you reject sin even in your friendships and your relationships when your friends are pulling you to do something deceptive or pulling you away from what you know is right and true and trustworthy? How do you reject sin that way? Man, it's a battle. It's a constant battle. But here's the truth that I think all of us need to understand is that the battle is not yours. The Lord is with you. Remember, He loves you. He desires to be in relationship with you. He will guide you through. If some of you are feeling tempted, you're feeling pulled away, guess what? There is a loving Father who died on a cross for you just to be in right relationship with you such so that He could pull you out. And He can do the fighting for you. It's that transfer of trust. It's that transfer that says, no longer it's going to be about me. I'm not going to be independent of God. I'm going to be dependent on Him. Oh, that's tweetable right there. Whew. I'm not going to be independent of God, separated from God, but if anything, I'm going to be dependent on Him because that is what a devoted follower of Christ looks like. Do we get it right all the time? Oh, no. Oh, no. We live in a sinful world. It's a real struggle. But am I rejecting that sin when it comes? Do I recognize that as a temptation and walk away from it? That's what defines you as a devoted follower of Christ.